Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to begin the sermon today by going through once again an explanation about the jesimas, or as we have now entered jesimatide, as we look forward to Easter. We stand roughly 70 days before we will celebrate our Lord's resurrection. And that's actually where the word Septuagesima comes from. The word means 70th from the Latin. As we enter this time, you will notice that it is very similar to Lent. And that makes sense because this time, these 70 days, remind us of the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity. You heard those words from Daniel the prophet as he was reading Jeremiah. In those days, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed. This prayer is a beautiful prayer. It is recognizing that it is only by the grace of God that we would receive anything good. The 70 years of Babylonian captivity visited upon the southern kingdom of Judah, they were worthy of it. They had turned, just as the northern kingdom had, away from the truth of God. And as God allowed the northern kingdom to fall to the Assyrians, God allowed the southern kingdom to fall to the Babylonians. It was by prayer, by fasting, by acknowledging that we are sinners, crying out to a merciful God, a loving God, that there could be any hope of salvation. That was true for them during that 70 years. It's true for us during the 70 days that lead up to Easter. And honestly, it's true for us every single day. And so we have entered this time of preparation. As we sang last Sunday, Alleluia cannot always be our song while journeying here below. We give up that beautiful song of praise so that when Easter comes, we may sing it out all the more, that we may rejoice, that those words may be on our lips. Earlier this week, as I was driving to one of our homebound members, I was reminded of our epistle lesson, and I actually spoke of this with her. In our epistle lesson, we see St. Paul talking about the cloud that God is with us in. And if you were around at all the last week, it felt like you were living in a cloud for multiple days in a row. Quite honestly, it made me pray to God before I went up to see her. It made me pray that he would give me safe travels to her. I'm sure many of you that drove during that prayed as well. Lord, help me get to where I need to be. That's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing to pray that God would lead and direct us. And too often when things are hard, that's the only time that we do it. God was with them in that cloud. After he delivered them out of Egypt, they spent 40 years with that cloud, and God was with them. Those 40 years remind us of the 40 days of Lent that also lead us to Easter. God was with them. Jesus Christ was that spiritual rock that was struck so that they might drink. Jesus Christ is the bread that came down from heaven that they might eat and be satisfied. We have received that water in the font. We have received that food in his supper. Septuagesima, 70 days. It sounds like a long time. But it is a good time. It is a time for us to focus on the one thing that is necessary, and that is Jesus the Christ. It is time for us to focus on we are sinners, but we have a God who is sinless, that we deserve death and hell far worse than they did. And yet he gives us instead life and heaven, all by his mercies. During the Reformation, there were three sole that came about. And if you look at your bulletin, you can actually see the old Missouri Synod logo. And this is far superior to our boomerang logo that has a cross on it that doesn't actually cross, which is why it's on our bulletin instead of that one. But when you look at the old logo, you can see that it confesses something. You can see that it confesses Jesus Christus Dominus est, that is, Jesus Christ is Lord. And you see the three sole right there on the inscription. Sola Scriptura, Sola Gratia, and Sola Fide. These three sole are a part of our Jesimatide. For on this day, we remember that it is by sola gratia, that is, by grace alone, that we can be saved. Over the next 2 weeks after, we'll talk about sola scriptura and sola fide. But it is only by God's grace alone that any of us can have that hope. And it is evident in the gospel lesson assigned for today. Yesterday, I had some of my children help me unload meat from the cooler that we had brought down. And those who helped, I did give a little stipend to. Now, if I told you how much, you'd probably say, well, Pastor, that's not really much of anything, is it? But as a business-minded man, I did not pay them all the same because they did not work all the same. And so I gave the littlest amount to the one who helped the littlest, the middle amount to the one who helped the middle, and the one who helped the most, I gave the most to. That makes sense in a business mindset. But God is far more gracious than me and many of us. Jesus gives this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. He had some men work for 12 whole hours with the burden of the sun cast high above them. He said, I will pay you a full day's wage, which is right for a full day's work. But every 3 hours then he goes back out to that place to find more men to work, and he says, you go and work, and whatever is right, I will pay you. Some of these men worked 12 hours, all the way down to only one. And after working in this field, in this vineyard, the time had come to be paid. And so the men come out of that field, many exhausted from working all day, many thinking, wow, I only had to work an hour. What is this going to be like? And so he says, pay them. Pay them, starting with the men who only worked 1 hour all the way backward. Now he agreed, I will pay you a whole day's wage if you work all 12 hours. But when he gave a whole day's wage, a denarius, to the men who only worked 1 hour, those who had worked the full day became greedy. Well, if he's given them a full day's wage for just 1 hour, surely I'm going to get more. All of a sudden, those who had worked 3 hours were given a denarius. 6, 9. Wait, what's going on? And when it came time to be paid, those men who had worked all 12 hours received the exact same thing. A denarius. The day's wage. And so they become angry and upset. That's not fair. How can you give them who worked only 1 hour the whole thing? This is what you promised. Yes, I have promised. I have given you everything. out of my generosity, out of my love, out of my gratia, grace, I have given everything to them as well. Election, predestination, is one of the hardest theologies that we have because our fallen human reason does not understand. It's not fair. How can a person be a Christian his whole life and inherit heaven, and the person who confesses on his deathbed, even after he had rejected him, go to heaven too? It's not fair. Certainly I should get it. But why should the new Christian get it? Lord, I have been with you this whole time. Reminds you of the elder brother and the prodigal son. We are to rejoice that God saves according to his grace. Because apart from his grace, none of us would get it. Not a single one would inherit the full price that is paid for heaven. Because none of us have paid that full price. That price was paid by Jesus Christ. By his perfect life, by his death, by his resurrection, he has paid, he has stamped us, paid in full. Everything has been paid. And so we are workers in his kingdom, but not to earn heaven, for that is a gift, but rather that others might see the grace of Jesus, that others might know that I am undeserving of heaven. That it's only by his grace that I have hope of being there. Is your eye evil because I am good? Do you begrudge my generosity, or do you give thanks to God that he is still calling people into his church? That there are people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s that are still being brought to the faith. Do we give thanks to God for that? Or do we begrudge his generosity? The last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. That gift had been given to those who had borne the whole day. And then they rejected it. They rejected his grace. And they were expelled from his land. There are people who live a life like a Christian, but then will be spurned away because of their ultimate rejection of that grace. They will think that they have somehow earned it, but it's earned by Jesus. Yes, this doctrine of election, that many are called but few are chosen, the fact that while God desires all to be saved, only a minority will be, is truly hard for us to grasp. It doesn't seem fair. But when you look at it from God's perspective, when you look at it from the perspective that every single one has failed, every single one has fallen into sin, every single one deserves death and hell, then it is more than fair that any should get heaven. It is only by his grace, by his love. I'll close then the sermon with a quote from our Formula of Concord, our Lutheran confessions that speak to this, and then simply acknowledge that we will not, this side of eternity, fully grasp election and predestination, but that we trust that these things are by God's grace, by his mercy, by his love, and that our hope of salvation is because he is good, even when we are not. The Formula of Concord reads, God's eternal election, however, not only foresees and foreknows the salvation of the elect, but by God's gracious will and pleasure in Christ Jesus, it is also a cause which creates, effects, helps, and furthers salvation and whatever pertains to it. Our salvation is based on it in such a way that the gates of hell are not able to do anything against it. It is therefore false and wrong when men teach that the cause of our election is not only the mercy of God, and the most holy merit of Christ, but that there is also within us a cause of God's election, on account of which God has elected us unto eternal life. It's not because of me. It's not because of you. It's because of Jesus. The church sings. Since Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation, each Christian therefore may be glad and build on this foundation. Your grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Your death is now my life indeed, for you have paid my ransom. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.